Message number 15 on the first epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever-precious and the worthy name of our beloved Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is always a joy to have the privilege of bringing the Word of God to your hearts, praying that it will be ever a blessing in the lives of all our radio friends. We continue in the first epistle of John, where in chapter 2 we are considering the three divisions God has declared existing within His family of children. We found in the 13th verse of chapter 2, they were named first the fathers, second young men, and third little children. These classifications are all in respect to their spiritual development and growth. We have considered the fathers, we have considered the young men. We have also begun the consideration of the children, little children. Today we would conclude what John has to say in words of admonition, encouragement, and exhortation to the children, those who were the infants in the family. First, we noted in verse 18 and 19 how very carefully and emphatically he warns the little babes of the seducing teachers. He calls them antichrists, many antichrists, meaning they're against Christ. They are not the antichrist, but they are antichrist in character and in testimony. They were once amongst the people of God in profession. They left the people of God and began to teach against the truth of God. Now John stresses the sources of safety that God has provided for his children. We noted in verse 20 particularly that every child of God possesses, even the youngest, even the newborn babe, possesses the Holy Spirit. The unction or the anointing to which John is referring is the Holy Spirit of God. Paul in like manner refers to the same expression in the book of Corinthians to the Corinthian believers long ago. And that Blessed One is their teacher to thus give them and tell them all the things which they needed. And then he also stated, if you will please remember, in verse 24 he confirms it, and let us look at that 24th verse. As for you, let that which ye have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what ye have heard from the beginning abides in you, ye also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. Now here is a principle of safety that the children, small as they may be, young as they may be, should know. And that is, the truth they had heard from the beginning of their confession of Christ, that truth should be abiding within them, never leaving them, never giving it up. And one of the protections for the young in the faith is that when corruption may come into the testimony and may even produce upon every hand confusion, there is no better remedy than to go back to the beginning where the truth is given us. And where do we get it? From the Word of God. I cannot emphasize too greatly the source of all truth for the believer in Christ is the Word of God. Paul, writing in the second epistle of Timothy, and I commend the consideration of that second epistle of Timothy, it pertains greatly and chiefly to the last days of Christianity in which you and I are now living. And in the third chapter, in verses 14 through 17, there are specific words the apostle gives to Timothy in the faith, in the days of the confusion that reigned even when he was present upon the earth. How much worse conditions are today. But listen to the words as I quote them to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 14 and 7 through 17. Telling us what every child of God should do in the midst of the confusion of error. For error and corruption has to be met. But it's got to be met in the right way. And when it's met in the right way, Satan will be powerless against the truth of God when the believer keeps it in its simplicity, for God's truth never changes. Listen to the words. Paul writes saying, to Timothy, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation, through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, meaning teaching, for reproof, meaning conviction, for correction when you're wrong, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, meaning complete, truly qualified unto all good works. The Word of God is the only safe, infallible guide to know what the truth of God is. The truth of God never changes. Well, did Paul say to Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:19, but the foundation of God standeth sure. It stands firm. It never moves. The truth will never move away from you, nor from me. But you and I can possibly be moving away from the truth. Well, did the apostle to the Hebrews write in chapter 2 and verse 1, we should therefore give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should drift away. I repeat with emphasis, John was not concerned about the truth drifting away from these little children. He was concerned about them drifting away and being seduced away from the truth of God. And thus he gives them the encouragement. Note verse 24 again. If what ye have heard from the beginning abides in you, ye also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. Fellowship with the Father, fellowship with the Son, was the great joy that John mentions in the first chapter of our epistle. And he writes that we may know that fellowship, that your joy might be full. And beloved, if we go on in the truth of God, if we abide in all the truth of God as he has revealed it from the beginning, we shall also abide in the Son and in the Father. There will be the enjoyment of fellowship. There will be the enjoyment of communion. We shall be in harmony with the Father as well as with his Son, Jesus Christ. And John gives the reminding assurance that the Father and the Son have promised to us and to them life eternal. What a joy to know we have eternal life. You remember what the Lord Jesus prayed in John 17 and verse 3 saying, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. And my beloved, may I say, life eternal is the knowledge, the enjoyment, the going on and on and on and on forever and ever to know God and Jesus Christ whom he has sent. Now again the words of warning of verse 28 we would set before our hearts. These things have I written unto you concerning them who lead you astray or seduce you. And then again, John in the 27th verse reminds them they have an unction. That is the Holy Spirit again. And you have no need that any man teach you. He abides within you. Again, the emphasis is not declaring that we do not need teachers that have been raised up of God, teachers who have the gift of teaching according to the Holy Spirit, but every believer can test what every man teaches by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God. My fellow believer, my young believer, may I advise you to test everything you hear, and even this preacher who may be speaking, test everything you hear by the Word of God. That is your responsibility as well as your privilege and even your ability, because you have a divine teacher within you, the Holy Spirit, and he teaches you and me all things, and he is true. He's not a liar, and he will teach us, and we shall abide in him. The closing words of John in verse 28 are addressed to the whole family. And may I again point out to you that in this section, beginning at verse 12 and going down through the 28th verse, John is addressing his words first to the whole family who have been forgiven their sins. And then he divides the family into fathers, into young men, into little children, according to their development and spiritual growth within God's family below. But at the close, I believe his words, and you may omit that word little out of your reading. 'Tis a different word in the Greek. Omit it, and it means children, all the family. Abide in him, that when he shall appear, when he is manifested, when he comes, we may have boldness and not be ashamed before him at his coming. I'm positive that John is concerned, not that the children in the family should be ashamed, but that John himself, together with his companion teachers, the apostles, they had many children, whom they had brought into the family of God through the preaching of the gospel, and they were concerned about those children. And they were children in the faith, if you please. Paul called his son Timothy. He called him his son in the faith. And the apostles realized those whom they won for Christ, they were, as it were, children, their own children who had been brought to the Lord. And when the Lord appeared, they wanted their children to so live that when the Lord came, they themselves would not be ashamed of their children at his coming. My fellow believer, may you and I realize this is what the Lord desires of every one of us, that when he comes, we shall not be ashamed, whether teacher or whether child, whether the fathers, whether the young men, and whether the little children. May God sanctify and bless his word for his glory, we pray. Father, asking thee to bless and prosper the truth of thy word to everyone in the family of God. In Jesus' name, amen.